Our work session on grants for the Department of Agriculture, federal grants.
Mr. Chair, if I could make a suggestion, I think we should do the second one first so we can give it to Representative Johnson to carry before she shows up.
Is it litter of animals?
Well,
it kind of goes with the Johnson.
We can do that, whether she's here.
Scrappy?
Yes.
Scrappy.
She's got Joni's already.
Well, can somebody from the agency pronounce that term, for that name for me? No.
Yonis.
Yonis.
It is Yonis, okay.
Yeah.
I've heard both, so.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Well, last week, last Friday at fall, Representative Johnson came running over to me and, how do you pronounce his name? Before she got embarrassed. Can you lay out our request for us, please?
In honor of Representative Morgan's request, the first one is approval of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Agriculture and requesting $100,000 for scrapie disease control efforts. Well, it's British. The grant will be used to assist in control of the disease. It is a disease of the central nervous system in sheep and goats. It is fatal and degenerative, and the only cure for it at this point is destroying the flock.
Be sure to put in the pony the word spongiform and cephalopod.
Yes.
I like mad cow much better.
It's transmissible. Spongiform.
Yes. The grant funds will be used to increase awareness among producers of the disease, offer education about the disease, and genetic testing of flocks. No match is required, nor is there an ongoing commitment to continue services once the funds are exhausted. LFO's recommendation is that we approve the application to apply and ask the agency to return.
Sure.
I'm going to go up to
that. And you'll find out about it later.
What's new?
Okay.
LFO recommends that we approve the grant request and requests that the agency return to the emergency board or the legislature, whoever's in session, for additional expenditure limitation if the grant is received and they find that they need it.
Mr. Chair.
Should we ask if the department has anything to add to this? Okay. Morgan.
Could I ask what the nature of the efforts are going to be to control this disease? What exactly are you going to do with this money?
Mr. Chair, if I might, I'll bring the state veterinarian up with me. For the record, I'm Chuck Craig, Deputy Director with the Department of Agriculture, and with me is Brad Leemaster, the state veterinarian. Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, there's really two basic components to this. One is an education and outreach function, and the second is a genetic testing function. And there's no cure for the disease, but one of the things that people can do is test their flocks for the genetic susceptibility to it, and then they can weed out the individual animals that have that susceptibility and arrive at a flock that should be not be susceptible in the long run. And I think breeders actually do this now because it's so important for them, but for the sheep industry at large, the cost of this is a burden on them, that this is a tremendous opportunity to provide an incentive to them by being able to pay for that testing, to have a veterinarian or a vet tech come out and actually draw the sample and then have the laboratory test done to determine the susceptibility.
Is this a disease that we see in Oregon now?
It happens periodically. It's kind of episodic, and I can recall, several years ago, there was a flock that had scrapies that had to be destroyed. But it's not it's not, it doesn't manifest itself all the time like it's a continuously ongoing thing, but it happens periodically, and when it does, it's devastating to the livestock owner that it happens to.
So under the current circumstances, absent this grant, what do you do if there's a suspected instance of this?
Well, all you can do is go out and investigate it, determine whether it really is scrapie, and then destroy the flock.
So you do the same thing. You do the blood test and see if it's present. So what this would do essentially is give you a revenue source to underwrite the efforts that you currently have?
Well, this is a prospective or preventative kind of thing as opposed to control now where, and I think actually, you know, the steps are that the flock is quarantined, the testing is done. If the test is positive, the flock is destroyed. This would provide grant funds to assist livestock producers have this genetic testing done so they could get themselves in a position of having a flock that's not susceptible.
Any more follow-ups? Nope. Representative, any other questions? Yes, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Who does your genetic testing?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, I think I'll refer that to the state veterinarian.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Chair Senator Dukes. The genetic testing...
I need your name for the record.
Oh, name is Bradley Master. I'm the state veterinarian for the Oregon Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. Yeah.
The genetic testing is actually done in a laboratory in Colorado. It's done on DNA, which is obtained by just a blood sample. And the researchers in this area have shown that in a certain chromosome in an area called 171, so it's codon 171, they found these genetic markers that show genetic resistance or genetic susceptibility to scrapie. All the sheep that have been documented to have shown the clinical signs have also had a high correlation to genetic susceptibility. So what producers are slowly moving, it's just another barrier, another way to distance themselves from the clinical disease. So if you can screen your flock and find, get those individuals who are genetically resistant, then it increases your chance for the disease.
Do all of the animals with that chromosome makeup end up with scrapie's disease?
The ones with the makeup for susceptibility, the markers they looked for have been designated R for resistance and Q for susceptibility. I don't know why it's Q, but that's what they've come up with. So they're homozygous QQ. Those are the ones that come down with the clinical disease. The ones with RR, highly resistant, and the ones with RQ and heterozygous are highly resistant. So the strategy has been for some of the breeders, as Mr. Craig mentioned, is to get your rams tested, and if you can find those individuals who are RR, then all the offspring will have at least an R in their genetic makeup, and they'll be much more resistant to the disease. So that's...
Well, I understand, what I'm assuming here is that you do the DNA testing on the lambs when they're born, and if it turns out that they are susceptible, then they're disposed of.
They would, well, they could just channel those as market animals and sell them. Yeah. Doesn't mean
lamb.
doesn't mean they're going to get the disease. It just means that if for a breeding animal, that's the one that you would want not to keep. Select for the ones that have the resistance and then market the more susceptible one.
Any other questions? Are we ready for a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation for acceptance of the grant request and move this to the full committee with a do-pass recommendation.
You've heard the motion. Is there any discussion of the motion? Objection to the motion. Motion carries. And we will assign Representative Johnson to carry this bill with the instructions that the departments the request to the co-chairs that we include the last two sentences in the first paragraph have to be part of the record. Paragraph, right. Okay, we'll close the work session on the request for the grant for Scrapies and open the work session on the request for the pollution control program.
The second grant is with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. It will be for $44,000 to create a water pollution control demonstration project. The project is intended to set up weather forecast-based manure spreading guidance index in real time for confined animal feeding operations. Their budget of $44,000 includes costs for setting up weather stations, communications, and a modeling of workstation and the software to be able to work up the guidance index. The Department of Agriculture will provide staffing to oversee and support the project at an estimated value of $20,000. That is an extension of existing program activities, will not require additional resources. This is an in-kind match that, while not required, will make their application more attractive to the Environmental Protection Agency. If they receive the grant funds, LFO recommends that they return to us for expenditure limitation if they need it.
Thank you. Questions of staff or questions of the department? Chuck, would you like to give us any more background of the need? Or?
Mr. Chair, I can do that again for the record. Chuck Craig from Department of Ag. Mr. Chair, this project is designed to help CAFO operators that have to spread manure on cropland by providing more specific, tailored information to them that would enable them to apply when there's the least likelihood of runoff of contaminated water into the waters of the state. There are two parts to this. One is to acquire and install weather stations in western Oregon that would fill in gaps that exist now with the existing network of weather stations, and then work up the index, test the index against this real-time data. And then the second part of it is to actually develop the capability of running a mesoscale forecast model that would enable us to provide forecasts of this index in advance to CAFO operators so that it would be useful as planning tool for them on whether or not they should set aside the resources, say, tomorrow to spread manure.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Morgan.
So what this is you're going to tell CAFO and AFO folks when it's going to rain so they know that they shouldn't spread manure then?
This is a more comprehensive index than that, and we could ask Jim Little, our meteorologist, to come up and describe it, but it would be an index that, for one thing, would be geographically much more specific, hopefully much more targeted to a specific area, South Coast versus North Coast, or Willamette Valley, Southern Valley versus Northern Valley, and so on, so that there would be better, more real-time data available to the operators, and they could actually make the decisions that they have to make with better information.
I thought we already did this. I mean, don't we have a system of weather gathering information right now that gives people in the ag community information about when to do things like spray and burn and all that kind of stuff?
We do the best we can with the existing data, and we are doing weather forecast in general, agricultural weather forecasting, but we don't have the capacity to tailor information that on a statewide or region-wide basis that requires a much more intensive look at the data and a treatment of it. Like internally, for example, we, for instance, the gypsy moth spray program that's going on in southeast Lincoln County, we forecast very intensively, very specifically for that, for our purposes, but we aren't able at this point to do that for all of agriculture statewide. So this is a piece of upgrading our capacity to be able to satisfy those needs more over time.
So the instrument, I assume there's some kind of instrumentation here. It's not a huge grant by any means, so there can't be a lot of instrumentation, but it would have a wider applicability in our overall system of predicting weather issues.
That's correct, Representative Morgan. In the long term, it enhances our capacity for providing weather information for other agriculture-related activities like field burning, like pesticide use, integrated pest management, things like that. But the specific demonstration project here that appeals to EPA and has been tailored to their needs is the water quality, water pollution prevention sort of project.
So what are we actually getting in terms of equipment? And I mean, what is this? What it says here is that it would develop a real-time weather forecast-based manure spreading guidance index. So there must be some kind of document that says, well, we tell you this, don't do this.
When the index is this, manure spreading is recommended. When it's something else, it's not. What in terms of equipment, what we're getting is 10 weather stations. And a computer workstation to run the forecast model on. There are some communications costs to, in terms of phone lines, to get the data from the instruments to our office. And then there's some software, which is, you know, $3,000 or something like that.
Okay.
I have a couple of questions, Chuck. First of all, I assume this information will be shared with the Department of Forestry as well.
It certainly will be.
Is that planned? I mean, is that, are you thinking about a memorandum?
There's a lot of cows over there.
I don't know if we discussed that specifically today. It's going to be on the internet, but
okay. Second question. Doesn't this, the more important question is how it relates to the capacity for storage? And what is the requirements for storage on with capital?
Well, there isn't a specific requirement. There is typically when a dairyman goes to NRCS to have a manure management plan developed, the entire operation they have, including their land, soil types, crops, size of the operation, is assembled together, and they run a computer model that uses the climatology that's from the closest station that's available to the site, and they produce an output from that model that tells you the approximate number of days when manure application would be allowed based on historical climate data. And then that's used to determine the recommended amount of storage. We don't have a flat required amount like 180 days or something like that.
That new check, back in my good old days when I was managing one of our dairies, I thought we had to have enough storage for a certain number of days.
We recommended people not have less than 90 days. That was a recommendation, but there never was a hard and fast requirement.
Any other questions, Senator Duke?
Already learned a whole lot more than I ever wanted to know here, so I probably shouldn't say anything. But I was just curious.
You don't have to.
This pilot, I was first thinking, where are you going to do the pilot? But I'm assuming it's in your offices that you're... I mean, the agency is doing it, and where are these
users?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out there's a lot of things
just flitted through my mind, but yeah, that's a good one.
The concentration of dairies in Western Oregon are Tillamook, obviously. There's still some left on the South Coast, I hope, in the Coos Bay, Coquille area. And then there are, you know, a couple hundred dairies scattered around the Willamette Valley.
Never mind, I won't even go where I'm going. Mr. Chair, I'll be happy to vote for this as long as I don't have to carry it.
Is that an offer to make a motion?
Sure, because he just told me that the folks on the coast don't know when it's going to rain, and I actually disagree with that. So. I will move that we, whatever we're supposed to do with this, recommend approval to Full Ways and Means for this grant application.
You've heard the motion. Discussion? Any objection? Motion carries. Representative Johnson, would you like to turn
You were going to do it if I was out of the room, so I might as well step up like a man. You bet, Mr. Chair. Any cow disease, any manure spreading, I'm your guy.
You understand, Representative Johnson, that this is $40,000 in federal funds. So we can let him know when it's going to rain.
I'm going to have a question at Full Ways.
I'm going to close the work session before she changes her mind.
It didn't take me too long to figure out who's going to carry the